You will excuse me while I take Frank Solner's place tonight. We are sorry that he is not able to be with us. We do trust, as our brethren have prayed, that even this evening, while we've been praying, his dear wife has known some help and some relief, and he also will have comfort of heart in a time of trial. Let us turn together, please, beloved, to the book of the Psalms, number 122. Psalm 122 is one of the songs of degrees. From Psalm 120 to 134 are a set of songs, of psalms, that Israel sang when they were going up to Jerusalem on the three occasions that God required the males of Israel to go up to Jerusalem for festival. And very interestingly and instructively, they come in sets of three. And the first psalm in every set is an acknowledgement and confession of need. And the second psalm is a crying out to the Lord because of his sufficiency to meet that need. And the third psalm is a psalm of rejoicing, realizing the presence of God is with them. And I think that even in conference times such as this, that is really the character of our cry. As we think of the first verse of our little psalm that we're going to read tonight, 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And in this psalm, I would just like to notice some of the characteristics of the occasions that God wanted his people to come up to Jerusalem as they're singing these songs. We've been hearing tonight and our beloved brethren praying, and our God has heard us. We have confessed need. And we've been made honest with the fact that we fail. We do sin. We're very selfish. It's Adam, and we're not rid of him yet. And we have that problem. We become distracted. And God wants us on these occasions to come up together. Actually, that is the word that is in verse 1 of this chapter. I was glad when they said, let's go together. Let's go together up to Jerusalem. Let's just read a few more verses in this psalm as we look at the character of the three occasions when they would be singing this psalm together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. The first occasion, I should just mention this perhaps for the sake of my younger brethren in their studying of there are seven festivals in the Old Testament that God gave to the nation of Israel. And really, I think it is very, very interesting. God, knowing the pathway that lay before his people, he wanted them to have times of festival. He wanted them to have times of joy together. And on three occasions, one was on the first day of the second feast, which is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It actually commenced on the very evening of the Passover. And for a whole week, males were to come up to Jerusalem. The second one was on what is called the Feast of Weeks, that is the 50-day feast. That's Pentecost. In the New Testament, the word is Pentecost is used because Pentecost means 50 days. And so after having counting the 50 days, they again came up to Jerusalem, but it was only a one-day festival, just for the one day. The third occasion was in the seventh month of the year. And we will notice a few characteristics about these three, because the one leads to the other. And the last one was the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, it was a 7 or 8 day feast when they were together in the fullness of the blessing of a completed harvest, and they were coming into the joys of the land, typified of the land that flows with milk and honey. In the first one, it's a refocusing on redemption. In the second one, it's a reminder of a harvest, the beginning of the wheat harvest, the beginning of a harvest on the time of Pentecost. And the third one is the expectation of Canaan, when they shall come into the land and find the rest and the land that flows with milk and honey. I trust that the spirit of verse 1 of Psalm 122 will indeed be, beloved, as each of us go to our places tonight. Again, I know it is the exercise of my dear brethren and sisters here. They have worked hard for the conference. They're not going to get to all the meetings, but we sincerely trust that just our coming up together unto Jerusalem, the last verse in the little psalm, will be the expression of our heart. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good, that it may be a time of rejoicing. I was noticing and considering the three occasions when God required the males of Israel to come up to Jerusalem, and the time of the Passover for the unleavened bread. It's a very interesting thing that God every year wanted them to come back to the Passover. Back to the Passover. It would have to be a remembrance. And you know, interestingly, brethren and sisters, there were occasions when Israel forgot the Passover. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's get someone to raise us up and forget this Moses and take us back to Egypt. In fact, they even talked about the diet that they had in Egypt. And they wanted it again. Beloved, conferences are good times to refocus our thoughts on our redemption. Redemption is actually designating a people in separation from what they were enslaved to, and what liberty they are brought into. And they need to be refocused on that. And I trust indeed, and I know that the Spirit of God this weekend is going to refocus our hearts to realize who we are, why we are, as we are seeking to fulfill his will, why we are in these circumstances. We are a separated people from Egypt. God rolled the Red Sea between Israel and Egypt, never to go back again, positionally. But in their hearts, they didn't forget their experiences back there. And dearly beloved, we are very conscious that we all think of occasions like that. And we need a refocusing, a restoration of our own hearts, of the blessedness of that moment when divine power delivered us from Egypt eternally. When the preciousness of the blood of the Lamb was put upon the door, and we took our shelter beneath that blood, and we fed upon that roast lamb, we're going to get a little fresh glimpse, and I trust a fresh taste of the roast lamb this weekend. God is taking us back to go up to the conference to get a fresh glimpse of redemption. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread has a very interesting character. It commenced with a day of Sabbath, a day of rest. And that's where I commenced, and you commenced in our salvation. In redemption, we rested. It ended with a day of rest. And the 7 days, the 7 day completeness was a time when there was to be no leaven. Leaven, as the Lord Jesus explains, leaven speaks of sin. There was to be no leaven in their food. So they're not to be feeding upon that which has sinful ways in it. And dearly beloved, that could be in the diet of any one of us. And God wants us to realize, and ministry will be given to us at this conference that will help us to distinguish what is leaven. And God says, I don't want that in your food. No leaven in your food. And no leaven in your vessels of service. You give them a good cleaning. Get the leaven out of the vessels of service. God says, I want you to come up to Jerusalem to rejoice and rest and realize the sweetness of holiness. Separated from sin, I trust that God's word will be that to us, as our beloved brethren have been requesting of the Lord. He delights to give it to us, beloved. He delights to see us rejoicing in the reality of redemption and separation unto himself and in our lives personally, in our actions. In the second one, it was the beginning of the wheat harvest, the day of Pentecost. A very beautiful day in the history of our world. The church was born, and the first church of God was planted on that very day. That was the beginning of a harvest. And brethren, the harvest is still going on. Thank God there's still sheaves being gathered in. The harvest isn't over yet. God wants us to get a fresh glimpse of that. He wants us to learn the truth of the church, which is the body of Christ. That gives to us, brethren, a unique position, as well as therefore responsibility and privileges as members of the body of Christ. And the planting of the church of God, that first assembly in Jerusalem, marvelous day. The world never saw anything like that before. Those beloved saints had never experienced anything like that before. They were rejoicing. They were so glad. They were so full of the communion together. They were equally sharing all that was required for them to remain in Jerusalem and rejoice in seeing the power and the grace of God. I trust, brethren, we'll get a fresh glimpse of the church of God. The wonder of the beauty of God's assembly. That's what he wants us to do. He says, I want all you males up there, all of you to come up to Jerusalem on this day. It's the beginning of a harvest, and you're going to continue with that harvest until we come to the last occasion. But there were times when Israel forgot this harvest, and they became greedy. And rather than observe the laws and the commandments that God gave through Moses regarding harvesting, they became greedy. And they ended up 70 years in Babylon, away from the land of harvest, away from the place where they could sing the songs of Zion. They lost focus of it. And beloved, we have an enemy. He hates God's assembly. He hates the harvest. And if he can do anything to stop and entangle your life, dear younger believer, perhaps with a wrong companionship, as we've been hearing tonight, a wrong companionship in your life could hinder God's purposes for your joy in this harvest, your usefulness in God's assembly. And he's going to refocus our thinking on that. He's going to give us teaching this weekend. Will help us to get a fresh glimpse of the beauty and responsibility of the Church of God, the local assembly. and the harvest of precious souls for the Lord Jesus. They forgot it and they lost it. But the third one is our expectation. And I trust indeed that as we hear the ministry of the Word of God regarding our hope, brethren, we are going to a land of milk and honey. We're going to a land where the Lamb is the light thereof. There's no need of the sun or the moon. Our blessed Lord Jesus, the Lamb who redeemed us, he is the lampstand of the glory of heaven, as the Word reveals to us. That's our hope. That's what he wants us all to come up to Jerusalem, to get a fresh glimpse of the glory that is our hope, what lies before us in divine purposes because of the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus in the work of Calvary and in resurrection. And so this little psalm, this first verse, I want to notice three words in it as I leave it with you. He wants us to go up together unto Jerusalem for the purpose, getting a fresh view of redemption and separation, of the church of God, and of the hope that lies before us. And we need it, brethren. We need a refocusing continually. I find it in my own heart, even when we read daily in the scriptures. It's wonderful how God will give that little glimpse. And it sets again within our hearts the yearning and the longing to know more of the intimacy with his person in the harvesting as well as in the hope. Notice the three words in verse 1, Psalm 122. I was glad. The word for glad. See, glad is really the result of a joy. The joy is there, all right. And particularly when we realize that this is a psalm of David. David never saw a temple built. But David's love for the ark, and that place where he had put that ark in that little tent that was made, and the remnants of the tabernacle that were in Israel. Some of the remnants of the tabernacle actually became the position for what is called high places. And that had to be taken away. God never intended the tabernacle to be divided up into pieces. Never. That was not his mind. But the ark for David was the presence of the Lord. And he would sit before it in meditation, in adoration and worship. He sought the mind of God just coming before that tent wherein was the ark. Dear David, he said, I was glad. The joy within his heart it's been given expression to. Brethren, I hope our singing this weekend will be the expression of a joy that's been revived in our heart. I was glad when they said, let's go up together to Jerusalem. The second word that is here provocative in this verse is, when they said unto me. When who said? Who would be talking to David? I've often thought of David's family, and he had, was it 19 sons? There's only one, he only lost one, Absalom. Marvelous thing, brother, when I read after Solomon built the temple, David's sons, some of them were singers, and some of them were princes. Marvelous blessing that dear man had. When they said, maybe it was his family. I think rather it was the priests and the princes in Israel. And they're saying, the time has come. The Lord has told us, this is his commandment. Let us unitedly go up to Jerusalem. A united heart that is fostered by the desire to come together up to the place of the conference in Jackson and in other conferences for the very purpose to have a refocus and a remembrance and a fresh glimpse of our separation through redemption under the person of the Lord Jesus and a fresh grip on the opportunities of service at the beginning of this wheat harvest. Brethren, it's still going on. Oh, for a few more sheaves, God help us right to our last day to see a few sheaves gathered in. Yes, it's more difficult, but the corners are still there, and the sheaves can be gathered, and the harvest isn't over until we come to the seventh month. At the end of the year, he says, at the end of the year, the harvest is over, and they go into the Feast of Tabernacles. Our hope is coming. Wouldn't it be nice, brethren, to have one sheaf gathered in when the Lord comes? To be rejoicing unitedly with God's people in the presence of the Lord when the Lord comes. And notice the last word in this little verse. He says, I was glad when they said, let's do it together, brethren. Go up to Jerusalem, the place of the Lord's throne, the place of the Lord's presence, the place of his presence in the midst of his people. That is to be the center of their joy, their exercise, and the focus of their heart, that they might hear the voice of the Lord and be able to celebrate him. And can I notice with you that in each one of those three occasions when they went up to Jerusalem, you know what they had to do? They had to handle a lamb. They had to handle a lamb and offer that lamb again unto God. We're going to handle the lamb this weekend, brethren. Oh, God, graciously give us a fresh glimpse of the face of the lamb as we seek to enter into his divine purposes, that we should be together in conference character to hear his voice, to have our hearts restored and refocused again, and a fresh handling of the Lamb of God until we see his face.